You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we are continuing our study here in Ezekiel. We got to chapter 4 and verse 1, so let's jump right in. And thou, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay a siege against it, and built a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against round about it. Moreover, take thou thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. So Ezekiel is prophesying the siege that's coming against Jerusalem while he's in Babylon. And this is, like I said, the fifth year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, and which would also be the fifth year of the reign of Zedekiah, whom the king of Babylon set over Israel in Jehoiakim's place, and they became rebellious. Lie thou upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be covered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. Now, we just read there in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, I have appointed thee each day for a year. Now, many people believe this gives them license to take this and to take other prophecies that are given in the scripture, perhaps like in Daniel, like the 2300 days prophecy, and apply this from Ezekiel over there. But I found a peculiar thing in the prophecies. I believe that when we are to interpret something as other than what it is, that the Heavenly Father usually gives us the interpretation. For instance, a lot of people will say, well, if you're going to take Daniel 70 weeks as a day for a year, then you have to take the 2300 days as a day for a year prophecy. But see, that doesn't work. That's illogical, and as it's not in the text. Number one, you're comparing apples and oranges, because 70 weeks is not given as a year's or a day's prophecy. Nowhere does it say 490 days. That's right, because it is 490 years. It says 70 weeks. And like we count, if we said if the Heavenly Father had wrote 49 decades, we would have understood that. 49 decades is 490 years. He wrote 70 weeks. Now, to the Hebrew, 70 weeks, upon hearing 70 weeks and having it written there in the scripture as 70 weeks, they were hearing what we would hear if he had wrote 49 decades, 490 years. But he never said 490 days. So you can't compare that prophecy with one where he says 2300 days. Of course, I hold to the literal interpretation of both of those prophecies, because I know that one was 490 years or 70 weeks of years, and the other one was 2300 days, literal days, because there's nothing given. It doesn't say in that other prophecy, so you can't apply something. Also says in another place that a day is as a thousand years is as a day. So people like to take license to, you know, pick and choose and apply something from here to there. And that's not the way that we are supposed to interpret the scripture. We always look in the context, first, and then we look in the same book, and then if that doesn't work, then we look elsewhere in the scripture for an interpretation. But usually you find that the interpretation is given right in the context, and if it isn't, then you're not supposed to take license with it. But here we have it, a day for a year, okay? And he's talking about the years of their iniquity. And this is not applicable to the 2300 days prophecy or any other days prophecy. It's certainly not applicable to the days of creation, you know, an evening and a morning or a day. That's how they play the popular prophecy game. That way you can make scripture say pretty much what you want when you want to, by picking and choosing and taking things out of context and kind of making up your own rules for interpretation. Instead of allowing the scripture to interpret itself or taking it literally, unless it basically says not to take it literally. I had to comment on that. So I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of the siege. So the Heavenly Father put some type of, an unseen band, because I don't believe that he was actually put in bands where he could move. I might be wrong about that, because it did say that he'd be in, well, let's just continue and see what happens here. I don't like to speculate too much. When thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, thou shalt bear the house of it. We got there. Verse 7, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Now that sounds like a very uncomfortable thing to have done to you, is to have to lay on one side or another. 40 days on one side and 390 days on the other side, one side for the house of Israel and the other side for the house of Judah. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread there according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days, thou shalt eat thereof. Perhaps signifying that they would only eat what they have there in the city during the siege with them. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day, from time to time thou shalt eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, a sixth part of a hin, from time to time thou shalt drink, signifying the famine or the scarcity of food and water in the city during the siege. And I've discussed this before, how this first siege in Babylon was a picnic compared to the siege by the Romans in 70 AD. Another, you know, the same thing kind of happened over again, only it was worse the second time because it was the complete annihilation of the nation, the city, and Israel as a nation, which had been removed as a separate, set-apart nation to the Heavenly Father nearly 40 years before the destruction of the city and the temple there in 70 A.D., because Daniel's 70 weeks had ended 3.5 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Messiah, when the gospel went to the nations or the Gentiles. One of the events that signified the end of the 70 weeks was, of course, the stoning of Stephen, and then the gospel going to the Gentiles, and the mercy and of the Heavenly Father to allow Jerusalem another nearly 40 years until the complete desolation to reach as many as would be saved in Jerusalem and have them, warn them to flee before the complete desolation and destruction of the nation, the city, and the temple there. Our Heavenly Father is very merciful, and he showed a great mercy to his set-apart nation even after they lost that position. Now, this is an unpopular word. This is a bitter word. This is not what people believe today. This doesn't go with popular eschatology, but I have history, and I have the Word of God you know, with me on it, whether people like it or not. It's there. It's clear. It's a clear prophecy. It's history. You can't argue with it. You can deny it, but you're denying the Word of God. You're denying history, and you're doing it all for a fantasy future 70th week of Daniel. Very unpopular word, as I'm sure the word of Ezekiel was. Bitter. Sweet when he received it, but bitter upon its delivery. So he tells him, you shall drink also water by measure, a sixth part of a hin, so signifying the famine, the scarcity of water and food during the siege of Babylon. Thou shalt eat barley cakes, thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. Now this is something you would only do in very dire straits and times of great scarcity, because you could cook with the dung of animals. You could cook with, you know, horse dung, or you could cook with the dung of cattle. Many poorer cultures do. And it's clean too. I mean, you know, you put horse dung, which I have a lot of because I have some horses, and you know, you mix it in your garden. It's great fertilizer. I mean, basically all it is processed hay and wheat and grass. It's processed by the horses, and it's great fertilizer. Also, when it dries, it makes a smokeless fire that you can cook by. You know, say you're out in the desert or whatever, there's no firewood around. You know, you can use the dung of cows and horses to cook with. If it's dry enough, it burns great and it burns clean. Said it makes a smokeless fire. But here, the scarcity is such that they even had to cook with human dung. That's what's being signified here to Ezekiel. Okay? That's the hardship of the siege of Jerusalem before the Babylonian destruction and the rebellion of the house of Israel, not only against the king of Babylon, whom he told, the heavenly father told them to surrender, and they would not in rebellion. So they were in rebellion to the heavenly father as well as to the king of Babylon. And then said I, Ezekiel speaking, he said, you're going to cook barley cakes, thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. And the Lord said, Yahuwah said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, Ezekiel, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted from my youth up even till now. I have not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. So Ezekiel said, man, you know, I've kept the law, and I cannot eat that. You know, it's abhorrent to me to eat that which is unclean and defile myself by breaking your law. Yes, so listen to this man, the righteous man of the Heavenly Father. So he balks here, and it says, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung. So now he's going to cook with cow's dung in place of man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. So in good times, you know, you cook with gas, and you cook with wood, and you cook with electricity, you know. You don't cook with dung, right? But in the time of need, you cook with dung. And in time of dire need, yes, you're cooking even with the dung that comes out of a man to signify how scarce things would be during the siege. Continuing here in verse 16, moreover, he said to me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure, and with astonishment. Coming to America. I believe it is. I believe it's coming here. And the city is not the place where you want to be. The city, you're going to have to sell your soul to the beast for a morsel, to the image of the beast. And they're doing it today. They're lining up. That's right. They're lining up for food stamps and the mark of the beast to get them. Because, of course, you have to have the number and the mark of the beast to participate in their benefit system. It's a requirement. That's why I don't get it. I can't. You know, I balk like Ezekiel here. Oh, no. You know, I would rather beg and I would rather go without than participate in the unclean thing. That's right. I came out of that. I'm not going back into it. You know, I'm not going to, like the dog, return to its vomit. No, thank you. I feel just like my friend here, Ezekiel. Not going to do it. Verse 17. Well, verse 16, he said, he's going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, signifying that they would have, but they would have little. The siege in Jerusalem, much worse. They were eating leather. Yes, they ate all the meat. They ate all the water. They had all the water. They ate all the bread, all by measure, and it was all gone. So that's why it was Jacob's trouble. It was a time worse than any other that had ever been in Israel up to that day. The siege at Jerusalem was worse because now they were out of everything. They were even cooking leather to eat it. So if anyone had any leather goods, they were eating the leather. And they were eating their children in the siege of Jerusalem during the Roman siege. It was even worse because if they tried to escape, guess where the Romans put them? They put them on that crucifix works around the city. So anyone to tell me that, no, it's going to be worse, you know, that he must be talking about the future. No, I'm sorry. It's talking about the end of Jerusalem, the end of Israel, the end of the Hebrew nation. It was the worst time. It was the time of Jacob's trouble because they were, the time of Israel was over. Now it was Jacob's trouble. That they may want bread and water and be astonished with one another and consume away in their iniquity. That's the end there of chapter 4. We move on to chapter 5. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thy head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balance to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city. You know, so he's got this little city, this little mock city set up, you know, this model of the city with the siege against it, right? Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite about with a knife, and a third part shalt thou scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. This very graphic image, that our Heavenly Father is drawing here of what he's doing and what he is accomplishing here with the siege by the hand of Babylon and the siege of the city. Thou shalt, he continues, I'll draw a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. Then take of them again and cast them to the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. Does that speak to you? And they have refused my judgments and my statutes, and they have not walked in them. You know, they call it the church. Has the ecclesia of God, through their corporate status with the state, have they changed his judgments, wickedness? Why don't they keep his days? Why do they prefer the days of wickedness and the celebrations of idols like Ashtaroth and what's the other one? Valentine's Day and Christmas and Halloween and all of the other worldly holidays. And they ignore his feast days totally. They don't care. And they say that his law is nailed to the cross, and they preach a comfortable gospel. Say the magic words and you can live the purpose-driven life. You're listening to Cross the Border.